I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. On this edition, I talk with Greg Sutherland, owner of Eugene's House of Records. When I moved to Eugene about a year ago, my family packed most of our stuff into containers or a trailer. The lone exceptions were precious cargo. I had one car trip with my dogs, and another with a handful of musical instruments that I didn't sell off, and my slightly trimmed down vinyl record collection. For many people over 40, physical media were more than just a collection of books, music, or movies. It was a means of self-expression. What sat on our shelves said something about us. Physical media began to die off as iPods and e-readers entered our lives, but it's now coming back. 2025 was the first billion-dollar year for new vinyl in 5 decades, and streaming subscriptions were down to about half of all money spent on music. So what does the return of records, CDs, and even cassette tapes mean? I stopped by a Eugene staple to find out. House of Records has been around since 1971, and it's called a converted home on 13th Avenue, home since 1973. In 1986, a young man by the name of Greg Sutherland began working in the shop. He became the manager about 20 years later, and owner a few years ago. We start by talking about the switch from vinyl to CDs in his early days.
When I started in 1986, we had about 10 CDs. They were all used, and there was one Phil Collins and then a bunch of Windham Hill CDs. And there was a Residence double CD that I quickly became fascinated with. And the store was all vinyl, except for those 10 CDs which were behind the counter. And then by 1989, I was already working on setting up an entirely new stock with CDs instead of vinyl. They were still printing vinyl up until about 1990. Not very many, though. 1988 and 89 is when artists started having just CDs and cassettes. For a while, there were three formats, cassettes, CDs, and vinyl, equally selling. And then, vinyl kind of disappeared as far as us ordering new vinyl. We still did, but not nearly as much. And the whole store got switched over from vinyl to CD. And this was in between 90 and 93. And the 90s were the golden age. I mean, we made so much money because CDs were so expensive and everybody was switching over. But then in 1999 came the iPod. And I mean, that just stopped business cold. We went 5 straight years where we made less money each year than the year before. That we just thought there won't be any physical media because everybody's going to be listening on their iPods. What ended up happening is that people quickly discovered that iPods were A, easy to lose, and B, sounded terrible, and that listening to music in earbuds is not the same as listening to music on a nice stereo system with a good room sound and good speakers. And so around 2005, 2006, coincidentally, I'm not sure, that's when the resurgence of vinyl started. It was just a trickle at first, but by 2006 or 7, we could tell, something's going on here. And the first record store day came, I think it was 2008?
Yeah, I actually looked that up just a bit ago so that I'd have it fresh in my brain.
We didn't participate in the first record store day. We just thought it was just a quickie fad. There were only 35 releases, but the next year, there were so many people asking about certain releases, and we just had to do it, and we've done it every year since.
Coincidentally, that was about the time I was starting to work in like college radio, and I remember that resurgence of vinyl, and people actually, all the DJs thought it was so cool when people started sending albums in again, and we put turntables back in the booth. Was the crowd primarily the audio geeks? Were you getting people who are maybe DJing and spinning stuff? Who was that key demographic when vinyl started to come back in? And has it changed since?
The DJs and the audiophiles never left vinyl. All through the 90s, we sold vinyl, just not as much. And we sold a lot of hip-hop and techno and house vinyl to DJs. We still sold classic rock and things like that, and jazz and blues and all the other things. But from right 1990 to 2005, so 15 years, basically a generation where all those people just skipped vinyl. Then in 2006, 2007, what I noticed was that most of the people who were buying vinyl were young. I still get old people who come in and say, "You guys still sell records?" And they just haven't been kept abreast of the fact that, well, it's been 20 years since records have come back, you know. Yeah. But they don't know that because they're older and they consume their music in a different way. And they got rid of their vinyl in the 80s or 90s, you know. Whereas I think the kids who started, and this is just my theory, so please take this with a grain of salt. But I think that the kids who first started getting into vinyl, first of all, realized, wow, this sounds a lot different than MP3 codes and iPods. A vinyl record has depth and warmth and a three-dimensional quality to it that MP3s and iPods and even CDs don't have. Most of that music is compressed, highly compressed, so that it'll fit on a file. And what that does is it sort of flattens out the music and kicks out some of the highs and lows that you would normally hear or maybe even sense. Some music can be felt but not heard. And that gets wiped out with digital media, in my mind. And so I think that some of these kids thought, wow, this sounds really different, and they started listening to vinyl, and then maybe a buddy came over and listened with them to a record, and who knows, maybe they did A-B tests where they checked out, this vinyl sound and with the same exact recording and yeah, put them side by side and figured it out, you know, and then maybe that buddy started buying vinyl, and then it just becomes a chain of occurrences, you know, where more people hear it. Word of mouth, as always, is important. I mean, the internet was a thing in 2006, but not as big as it is now, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's my feeling. So, to get all the way back to your question, I think it's mainly younger people who got into vinyl and got it back into the consciousness. And now another generation has come along, and they love the vinyl too. You know, and they didn't grow up with it. Neither of these two generations grew up with vinyl records in their home. So it's a very nostalgic thing to them. I think it's an incredibly romantic story. Like, I wouldn't have ever predicted in the 90s and early 2000s that 20 years later, we'd be selling majority of vinyl.
What do you think it is? Because these days people can just, you know, pay their Spotify monthly subscription and have access to this massive trove of music. What makes them come into a store and drop that, you know, $30 on a vinyl, or maybe we're getting into other cheaper means, you know, CDs and even cassettes are becoming a thing again. What is it that makes people circle back around? Is it all about that quality, or do you think there's something else to it?
My coworker Ian insists that a lot of these kids are buying records for the covers and that they don't even open them, and they take them home and put them up on their walls because, honestly, okay, $30 or even $35 now, or $40 for a vinyl record seems like a lot of money, but for something, an art piece that you put on your wall, wow, that's actually cheap.
And if you think back, like in that time, you know, on The Tonight Show or Late Night or whatever program, when the musical guests came up, they were always holding up the vinyl because there is something about that physical size that it's nice and easy to see.
I think that the whole hunters and collectors thing about human beings is really like showing up here. I think that people like to collect things and have little, whether it's books or art or music. And yeah, it's just a record is unique in that, so you have the audio aspect of it and you can listen to it over and over again. That's another nice thing. When you buy a vinyl record, you could, it's yours forever now. You can listen to it so many times, you know? But then also there's the visual aspect of a record. And then there's a kind of literary aspect. Like if you buy an old jazz record or blues record, you turn it to the back cover and there's a bunch of liner notes that teach you about the artist and the recordings, and then the tactile experience of holding the record in your hand, putting it on the turntable, lifting the needle, putting, I mean, there's a hand-eye coordination thing there. It's a ceremony, you know? Also, records have side two, part two, whatever you want to call it, where an artist has to think, how do I want to start side two? You know, it's a new beginning. It's like a new sequence. And how do I do it? CDs, it just seemed like people threw a bunch of tracks at the medium and, you know, stuck it on this disc. And then you're listening to something for 40 minutes straight or more. CDs can hold 80 minutes of music. And a lot of artists took advantage of that and added more stuff, which for a collecting standpoint is cool. But let's say you buy a Hank Williams CD and it has 28 cuts on it. By the time you're done, it's kind of mind-numbing because Hank Williams, you know, I mean, he's one of the greatest artists of all time, but his songs can tend to sound the same if you listen to 28 of them in a row. Whereas when they were released, he died in 1952. So there were barely even vinyl records in existence. Most of his songs came out on 78s. There were only two tracks. Also, there's the whole thing about compression that we don't talk about as much, and that is that it's a little bit difficult on the human ears. There's an edginess to a compressed CD or file. And there's even a term for this. It's called digital fatigue, where it kind of wears you out.
Yeah, I remember Neil Young talking a lot about that when he was doing the tours for his failed Pono player, mm-hmm. about that digital fatigue and just how things sounded harsh on his ears. And I mean, him talking about it evidently worked well enough that I bought one of those.
Neil Young has an amazing essay, I don't know if it's still online or not, about digital music and what it does to you physically and how and why it sounds the way it does. It's amazing. I read it way back in the 90s. Even then, he was crusading against it.
A quick note before we take a break. We couldn't find an essay by Young to this effect, but he was quoted expressing a similar view in The New Yorker in 1996, saying of digital recording, quote, "It's the dark ages of music," unquote. We'll have a link to the article on our website, and he also said that phrase in the 2001 biography Neil Young, Reflections in Broken Glass by Sylvie Simmons. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC.
I'm Barbara Dellenbach, host of KLCC's Oregon Grapevine. Eugene's Gutenberg College stresses the biblical worldview through the study of the great books. President Chris Swanson says philosophy and reading are underpinnings of the curriculum.
Everybody is a philosopher. Not very many people think very carefully about the philosophy that they have. The opportunity at Gutenberg College is for students to actually think about what they believe and why they believe it and where did those ideas come from.
A higher education model based on discussion and deep reading on the latest Oregon Grapevine at KLCC.org.
We're back. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers. My conversation with House of Records Greg Sutherland continues. A big thing for a lot of record stores these days is what you just mentioned, what's coming up, Record Store Day. I wonder if you think a bit of maybe one way that this kind of got revived is that as things go digital, there is so much less to collect, you know? We have streaming services for movies and for TV, and how much do you think that idea of having these cool little exclusives, you know, it's almost like the Funko Pop figurines.
Oh, yeah.
It's the audio equivalent, I guess.
Collecting is just a thing. I mean, and I personally, I like the aesthetic of a wall of records. I like how that looks. It's inviting. It makes you want to go and check them out. Same with books. I like a wall of books. we have two separate ways of displaying our records in the store. One is tall shelves, library style, where you see the records from the spines only. And then we have flip style racks where you can flip through them and you see the whole cover in front of you as you're flipping. Both of those are really effective ways, I think, to display records. And we take advantage of that. With the library style racks and with the flip style racks too, there can be issues when things are too tight and it's harder for people to browse. Fred, who used to work here, had this great theory that the less you have in the racks, the more you sell, because people can browse it easier. But yeah, as far as like having something in your home like that, a wall of records or books or whatever, I like that aesthetic. I know I've lived with some women who don't, but
my wife isn't 100% thrilled with my record collection. Yeah. It has to stay in the, you know, low 300-400s because of that. Yeah. But yeah,
well, mine's in the low 3000s. But my wife loves records too. And she worked here for 15 years with me, and our stepdaughter works here now. So yeah, we all love records. Don't get me wrong. She does not police my record collection, but she does tend to like it when I move things along.
You know, as we're sitting here, you're dusting off some records that have obviously come in, looking at, you know, titles like Cool and the Gang sitting here. How much of music sales for physical media is used versus new?
It blends pretty well. I would say it's probably 60-40 new to used. But we do, some days we sell more used, some days we sell more new. There is still a stigma attached to used records, especially for younger people. But it's also a nice cheap way to pick up, you know. And then also, I gotta say, an older used copy sounds better than, let's say you bought Abbey Road, an original. It's going to sound different than a new reissue of Abbey Road, because unfortunately, they don't tell you this, but a lot of new records are actually digitally remastered.
They're not on that master copy of it somewhere anymore. They're a FLAC file on a computer that gets fed into the equipment to etch that record.
That's right. Not all of them, but a great deal of them are that way. So you're basically buying records that sound like really good CDs. And that's not the worst thing in the world, but it does sound different. If you put an original copy next to a brand new reissue, some people might be disappointed at what they hear.
I was very surprised to see the cassette come back around. I remember when I was in, I think, like fourth or fifth grade, and I got my first Discman, you know, portable CD player.
Yeah.
I was ready to toss out all of my cassettes at that moment. I wonder if you had that same surprise seeing people gravitate back towards cassettes, or you know, if maybe you had a different thought on it.
I'm surprised. And the cassette thing has actually been going on for a while, too. There was a little label called Burger Records back in the early to mid-2010s, mainly punk and indie rock. And they emphasized cassettes over LPs and CDs. And wow, lots of kids bought these cassettes, and they were cheap and they're extremely portable, even more so than CDs, you know, and they're cute. I think a lot of kids just liked them. And there's that nostalgia factor. There's that, wow, this is something that my grandparents used to listen to, you know? And I mean, let's not forget the mixtape. That was a very big deal in the 70s and 80s, maybe a little bit in the 90s. And now people do it with CDs, or they make Spotify mixes. I think cassettes sound pretty good, honestly. They're warm. Some of them are a little bit bass heavy. And then, of course, if you don't store them correctly, or if they get too hot, they can sound a little warbly, and you know. But I'm shocked at how long some of my cassettes have lasted and still sound good. It's just, wow, another format, and people are seem to be digging it.
Thanks for chatting a bit about how physical media has managed to reemerge in our lives, and we're all getting bookshelves filled back up with these things.
I'm sure, yeah. Thanks for having me.
That was Greg Sutherland, the owner of House of Records in Eugene. This has been Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. I'm Zach Ziegler. Thanks for listening.